At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Holocult. You know what that means. You've chosen us to hang out with you and kickstart your work week. For that, we are forever grateful and appreciative. If you're new here, you're going to want to skip ahead to about 5 minutes because me and Kyle have some stuff to talk about. Not everybody likes to talk. They don't like to listen to us talk unless it's about weird stuff. We can't get to the weird stuff until we get through the business. So you're going to want to skip ahead. Speaking of the business, check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and we'll be there. Come join the community. Be part of the cult. Cool thing to do. All the cool kids and the weirdos are doing it. It's just pretty rad. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future episode of our Thursday shows, the listener experience shows, I've got some info for yous.
I do. It's all easy. Show notes. There it is. You'll find an email address in there. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. Write your story out. Write anything out. Send it to that email. Put it in the filing system. Gets on a show. Wham, bam, done. You're there. Mission accomplished.
We have a whole system.
You will essentially turn into
the coolest.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, the coolest person alive.
Yeah.
It's easy. That's how it works. If you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of ways you can do it. There is a Patreon you can go and sign up for a mere $7 a month. You get all of this goodness you see right here, ad-free and early drops. Also, about 50 extra unreleased shows that are Patreon exclusives. You get Casket Breath Jams, which is exclusive. And you get early drops to merch and merch coupons to the merch store. Merch store, you say? Yeah, HollowSkyPodcast.com. There's a store over there. You can go over there and check out some of the goodies. We got shirts over there. We got stocking caps over there. We got the new dope trucker hats that are just dropping. Kyle's got one gracing his dome right now. They're sick. They're pretty sick.
You guys are gonna
dig them. I'm excited. Kyle's excited.
I am.
We're excited.
Doesn't look like it, but I am.
They're pretty dope. Pretty dope. We got like four different styles. Grab one. Grab four. Grab them all. Just whatever your heart desires. Also, keep our name in the hat for any of your friends that are weirdos that like to talk about weird stuff, paranormal, unexplained, Fortean, conspiracy. If they like to listen to podcasts, throw us out there. If you have other weird shows that you are fans of, toss our names at them. We'd love to start working with a bunch of other shows and kind of expanding the hollow circle here. You can also go to wherever you leave us 5-star ratings and reviews. And if I find it, I will gladly shout you out. This week's five-star rating and review comes to us from our friend LJ Skies. LJ says, 5 stars, Hollow Cult for life. Loving the pod, gentlemen. Been here a few years and continue to love it with every episode. Keep up the friggin' work. Thanks, LJ.
Much love.
We will keep up the friggin' work because of people like you and our listeners all across the planet. Makes this labor of love a lot easier than difficult.
Agreed.
So we appreciate you all. And Kyle stated it before, and I can't reiterate it enough. The show wouldn't be anything if you weren't out there listening to it. So we appreciate you. We appreciate you standing by our side. We're coming on 6 years, folks.
Long time.
Just a few months shy of 6 years. That's over half a decade.
Yeah, it's our time to shine now. Let's make it happen.
Let's push 2025.
Make it happen.
To the stratosphere.
Yeah. Let's go to the moon, baby.
To the moon. To past the moon.
Yeah. We'll stop at the moon to see the alien bases, and then we'll move forward.
The alien burrito stand?
Yeah.
That'd be fire.
Burrito sounds good right now.
Yeah, you're right.
I'd take one of them busted-ass microwave ones, dude.
Yeah.
They'll sound pretty legit. I'm not going to lie.
They do hit.
They do.
They have no reason to be as good as they are.
Yeah.
Considering they have no nutritional value.
They're
a Jack in the Box taco.
Jack in the Box taco sounds legit.
Yeah.
We need to get one like a Jack in the Box in your house.
Yeah. We're going to have to.
I would eat a lot of those tacos during our recording nights if we had them constantly available. So someone please, we got hooked up with the Monster Cooler once for putting out another call to arms. Somebody send us a Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
Put in Steve's house.
We're gonna have to expand the Hollow Realm significantly before we can afford to get Jack in the Box in my house.
Or Jack in the Box could just sponsor us and mail us tacos.
Yeah. Anybody know Jack? Send him.
I feel like somebody that listens probably does.
Yeah. Let's make that happen.
Yeah.
So
I'm in.
That's the business.
I had a good Jack in the Box taco in a hot minute.
Me either.
That'll sound legit.
That's the business for this week. Get us a Jack in the Box sponsor.
Yeah.
It's easy. If you don't think
now
about
I'm
it.
I'm hungry. Man.
We've distracted ourselves and we are past the 5 minute mark.
Oh shit. We gotta do better.
We will eventually. 6 years and we still ain't got it down.
No.
This is what you pay for. Yeah,
crawl free walk. What can I say?
Yeah. This is us. Congratulations. But Kyle's here with some weird. He gave me a little synopsis beforehand and I'm pretty stoked.
It's good, man. It's good. I'm actually excited about this one.
He said he goes down some different realms and rabbit holes here. So we're here for it.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
So the initial premise of this upcoming show was for the Notorious. I know a lot of people have heard it. Or at least fragments of it and know of the story, don't know the entirety of the story. But I really wanted to look into the red night vision goggles from Vietnam because we've heard about it. And so I was like, all right, this is what I'm going to focus on. This is what we're getting. So I start off here with a little bit of background on Vietnam. For those of us that are unaware, it was a pretty gruesome endeavor for everyone involved. Some of the stats around the war are pretty astonishing. Estimated people killed, Vietnamese soldiers and civilians alike, about 970,000 to 3 million, it's estimated. Cambodians, 275,000 to 310,000. Laotians, 20,000 to 62,000. And U.S. service members, upwards to 58,000.
That's a lot of people. Yeah.
If that wasn't bad enough, the U.S. would destroy roughly 20% of South Vietnam's jungle and 20 to 50% of the mangrove forest by spraying toxic herbicides, which we call Agent Orange. So it's no exaggeration that at least at one point in time, this place was pretty close to hell on Earth. I mean, it's
understatement.
Yeah, it's bad. Some of the war stories that have come from there are unlike anything you'll ever hear or experience. But from this hellish time spawns a story that catches a lot of attention in the paranormal world, which is why exactly why I chose to dive into it. It's a story of the military personnel in the jungle having these very specific night vision goggles that are, because we are more familiar with the green night vision. Yeah. These were red night vision. And there are specific reasons why, well, known to us as to why red was chosen at the time over green.
Did red come out first?
I think so, yes. Because I even saw video from the Paranormal 60 of night vision, quote unquote, back in like World War II. And it was more like they called it night vision, but what it actually was is essentially red tinted glasses is what it was.
That's interesting.
And a nerdy connection, and I still cannot find the official story. One of my all-time favorite movies supposedly actually links into this time frame, and that's the movie Predator. Because there are rumblings that Predator is loosely based around a real story.
I hope so.
That the original movie itself is actually based around real stories.
Which is terrifying.
It is terrifying. And the movie itself was, I looked it up, it said it was written in 1984. So that puts it after the Vietnam War.
Yes, yes.
So the time frame works.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
I hope so. So before we get into the paranormal aspect of today's show, we're gonna do a little bit of nerd time. Okay? A little nerd time.
We're here for it.
Nerds. I think it's interesting.
Cool nerds.
It's interesting, and I'm trying to do a little bit better in my presentation of stories. Because a lot of times when me and Steve are sitting here talking, we come up with questions and so on and so forth. And so as I'm writing it myself, I'm asking questions and I'm trying to answer those questions before getting to this point. So I'm like, okay, well, let's kind of break down how night vision works, because I don't know how it works. And maybe for Steve, it's gonna break something loose. Maybe for you guys listening, it'll break something loose. But the electromagnetic spectrum is the entire range of different electromagnetic radiation that exists. Visible light is an electromagnetic wave that falls squarely inside this range. Also within the EM spectrum, you have radio waves, microwaves, infrared radiation, visible light, ultraviolet, X-ray, and gamma ray. Our eyes, of course, can't perceive any other forms of those light. We stick with the visible light spectrum. Infrared light is the light that is just underneath what our eyes can actually see. This is where night vision will come into play. Night vision actually amplifies the infrared light and other faint visible light around your target to produce a clear image. So when the device captures this faint light, it will send it to a photocathode, whatever that is.
Nailed it.
Which collects the photons and turns them into usable electrons. Then that is sent to an image intensifier tube that will accelerate and amplify and converts the signals emitted from the electrons back into a usable image. Why night vision is green? One of the explanations as to why night vision is green is because I think for a lot of us, we envision that's just how it's interpreted with your goggles. Well, that's not true. The actual interpretation of the information that comes in the lens and backward is actually black and white, but they put a green filter in front of that, which I didn't know that.
To make it more visible for us, to make it stand out.
Right. Right.
I just want to say
also green. So our eyes see more hues of green than any color out there. It falls into like the middle spectrum of our eyes. So it is the easiest for our eyes to kind of like in digest, essentially. It's the easiest on our eyes. It won't strain them the most.
That's interesting.
And apparently it comes from evolution, because as we were coming up through the evolutionary chain, greens are going to be the most, the color that we need to disseminate the most, because we need to be able to find food and stuff within all these greens.
Makes sense.
What were you going to say though?
Oh, before that? I just want to say, like, sometimes I don't have a lot of faith and hope in humanity, but then I realize that humans have come up with some pretty crazy shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, maybe there is a savior among us that can figure out how to stop an asteroid from hitting us, or
yeah,
figure out how to stop the next cancer outbreak or some shit.
So, and you know, if not, best case scenario, we've made some cool shit.
Yeah, we really have.
We've made some cool shit.
And I mean, even if the technology was passed on to us from alien underlords in the ocean, I mean, we still kind of made it our own.
Yeah,
realistically. Yeah,
that, you know, that's a good way to put that too. I like that. Yeah. We take stuff and we make it our own.
Yeah, that's what we do. There's a little bit of hope. They also use that knowledge to make nuclear bombs and shit. But that's, you know,
that's true.
You gotta take your wins with your losses.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. But as I'm kind of going down this topic, I decided to look into different lighting situations, because I can remember, and I'm sure most of you can remember, Steve, you might even remember, sometimes certain flashlights would come with different light lenses with them. You know, you had your different colors.
Yep.
So naturally I'm like, okay, if we're going to go down the scientific route, why did these lights come with different colors? And they all essentially have kind of a different purpose. All of them technically work well in the night, but like say blue was exceptional at locating blood or body fluids. And it also, blue also cuts through fog the best. So that's why with a lot of new cars and these lights that we see, we notice how they're a little bit bluer of a hue. That's why, because it cuts through the fog better than any other, the spectrum of light.
Interesting.
Which is interesting, right? Also, blue is really good for map reading at night, because whereas red is another great option, but red would obviously, wash out red markings on a map.
Yeah.
So blue is very good for map reading. But it's interesting because they said the blue light will actually almost give blood and bodily fluids like a fluorescent glow to it, which is bizarre.
It's interesting.
Red supposedly from sources are kind of torn between red and green. Most sources say red is actually the best for night vision, because when we go from, okay, so the best way to describe this is, if you are out in the woods and you acclimate yourself to the night, that's what we would call night vision for ourselves. And if somebody puts a bright flashlight in your eyes, it blows out your night vision. Your night vision's now gone for a little bit because your eyes dilated. And you're having a hard time perceiving the dark situation again. Red actually helps us keep our night vision. It won't interfere. It's a seamless transition between the two.
That kind of makes sense,
right? It doesn't burn us out. Red will actually kind of bring up a lot of details, and it's harder, apparently, from what I read. Red is also harder or better at masking your position versus like a bright white light, yeah, which makes sense.
I've read that too.
And then I found on other sources, the one thing that I could find as to why you don't really want to use too much red light is also a pretty notorious distress signal when you're out in the woods. So that can, you know, take that for what it is. But apparently, according to sources that I was able to find, Red light does some pretty fucking interesting things as well when you start to dig a little bit deeper into all of this, which actually kind of ties into the encounter here. Red light in near infrared light can actually maximize the efficiency and performance of the human brain. Also, being exposed to infrared energy on the brain's neurons, this can increase our spatial awareness and reduce our reflex time. So you can 100% see why the military would utilize this technology in the middle of a war.
Yeah, 100%.
Bro, if it maximizes your awareness and at the same time reduces your reflex time in a weird way, and not to mention it can maximize the efficiency and performance of your brain in a roundabout way just by using these night vision goggles, you're kind of creating a super soldier.
I was thinking the same thing.
Right?
Yeah. Because any advantage is an advantage, but especially like being able to reduce your reaction time, like that's critical in hand-to-hand combat.
It's huge.
And it's so crazy to me that there's all of these different spectrums of light that affect us in different ways that we don't even notice.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And that's exactly why I was kind of excited and nerded out here a little bit and got into these different spectrums of light, because it is fascinating when you sit down and you start doing some of the research and you realize how much of the actual light spectrum that we don't even get close to seeing.
No. And it still affects us. It's crazy.
It still affects us. It absolutely still affects us.
It's wild.
And when I talk about, just to kind of clear things up, like when I was talking about the blue, I'm talking about the lenses that fit over your outputting light at this point, the output, not exactly the night vision where it's in your eyes. But green, like I said, green is kind of in the middle between green is literally the middle ground between red and blue. It's kind of gives the best of both worlds, kind of, you know, it isn't superior, so to speak, but it's a solid choice. And even though it's anecdotal evidence, there are a huge amount of hunters out there. And I just found this interesting. There are a huge amount of hunters that swear green light doesn't scare off or alarm animals at all.
Interesting.
Weird, right? It's kind of, it is interesting.
I feel like I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, that's why I said we're going to kind of nerd out a little bit.
Like a lot of shit I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking when I was writing it. I'm like, this is kind of fascinating in its own little weird way.
Yeah. We're cool nerds, not dorks.
Yeah, yeah, of course. So by kind of those accounts, you can use a lot of different colors for night vision goggles. You really could. You could actually essentially almost use any color. It's just that you take into consideration how these colors actually amplify and extenuate the details and the surroundings of what you're seeing through the goggles. And then you take into account how much strain is it putting on your eyes? Because you could sit here and be like, yeah, it would probably suck if the inside of your night vision goggles, the screen was like a bright orange. Your eyes would be like, oh shit, this sucks. You know, I don't see that being fun at all. Yeah. And then you could see a color like purple, that being hard to see darker details in your image. So you go through this and they, like I said, red had a ton of benefits. And if it's true that it in this infrared state, in this red state, it actually maximizes performance. It's a shoe-in for a military pick.
Makes sense.
Now we get into a little bit dicier territory where night vision goggles, supposedly during this time of the Vietnam War, had Dyson put inside them. And apparently Dyson is a synthetic dye known for its ability to filter specific wavelengths of light, particularly in the ultraviolet and infrared ranges. According to the interwebs, it claimed to enhance the visual perception and allow wearers to see beyond the normal spectrum of light. As far as I could tell, it's hard to figure out why, the original chemical makeup of Dyson is illegal. Like, some people are saying it's illegal and some people are saying it's not. And so it's in this weird gray area of why it cannot be really acquired. People on Reddit searched all over for a policy that would make it illegal and couldn't come up with anything. Searching under, which is far more than I would have thought to do, scheduled drugs, controlled substance acts, looking through the FDA, the DEA, and they were unable to find anything on its own that would make it illegal to own or possess Dyson. Some people were saying that it could be illegal, and I only saw this in one place, so I don't know if this is 100% accurate, but some people said in the original chemical makeup, there can be trace amounts of cyanide within the chemical makeup. However, cyanide in this state, and I don't know what this means, but they said cyanide is dangerous because it is a nucleophile. And when it is found in Dyson, its nucleophile properties are negated due to it being bound to hydrogen. So it makes it non-lethal in this state. But Dyson in itself is made from coal tar, and its claim is that it can make auras visible. Later, these claims were dismissed, oddly, not because of a lack of auras, but because it was asserted the aura seen was the result of the viewer's perceptions.
What the fuck does that mean?
Exactly. The institutes that in the end up discrediting these Dyson glasses didn't discredit because it claimed to see auras. It did it because they are claiming that it's the way the viewer perceives it in some weird context.
So the auras are real, just not in the way we think they're real.
Kind of. In a weird way of putting
it. Which is the most government answer I think I've ever heard in my entire life.
Right, exactly.
We have our own pair of goggles.
We do.
Thanks to JJ Rose.
Like, it makes me want to play with them more.
Yeah.
After, like, kind of going through this. So, with all of that being said, we'll kind of dig in a little bit here. So once again, these new night vision goggles were enhancing the soldier's abilities, which, like I said, is most likely why they were chosen. Now, keep in mind, when I did this research, I didn't realize that when we hear of the Vietnam Red Goggle cases, all of this stems from one story in particular. One story blew this subject up. I did not know that when I was going into this.
When you had mentioned it off the air, that surprised me too.
Yeah, I did not realize that at all whatsoever. But these goggles were given to plenty of soldiers on helicopters. However, the pilots and officers of said helicopters were under extremely strict orders to never wear these goggles. Red flag number one.
Man, I wish my Uncle Ray was still alive because he was a helicopter machine gunner and did two or three tours. And
dang, that would be a dude worth tapping. At least to see if he heard any of these stories.
Interestingly enough, he did swear that he saw a gargoyle on the bluffs down by Eldred.
That's fucking weird, dude. Because some of the entities that get described in this are linked to gargoyles. That's weird.
It is weird.
That's weird, dude. That's weird. Now, in regards to this situation in the red, and I'm serious. I did a little bit of due diligence on this, and I have found so many sources that do say it did start with red night vision goggles. That is not a lie at all. They were invented. They were used. Is 100% legit from a bunch of sources that I was able to find. But once these soldiers had first gotten these new night vision goggles, they loved them. They said these were working great. we can see in the dark is incredible. It's helping us out so much. However, after a week, the men wearing them began to change within their personalities. The men began staring at things that weren't there, mainly focusing on treetops. Guys wearing the goggles also began to fight amongst themselves. So it's almost like it raised their agitation rate through the roof, right? But in a roundabout way, that does kind of make sense because red is also affiliated with rage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So maybe that does have a play on the human psyche. Another thing that I did find interesting, and I'll go ahead and tee off on this real quick to see if you have any thoughts on it. I did also hear it's extremely interesting when you look back at, say, religious texts or people of the past, because they would have done things with like rubies and stuff that they would have maybe looked through. And it's also interesting when you take religious texts or people of the old and you think of demonic entities, we always affiliate them with red.
Hell is always red.
Always red.
Yeah. It's weird.
So it's interesting, right? But anyways, like I
said, it also almost makes you wonder, like, if my conspiracy brain's going way off the rails.
Let's get it.
If this was strategic by our military and the government, already knowing that giving our soldiers these specific red goggles would also increase their anxiety and agitation.
Kind of that would definitely make them more violent.
Yeah, set them one step up, just ready to set off.
It's like Hitler giving them meth and stuff. Yeah. Giving his soldiers meth. Same thing. I didn't think about that.
That's the first thing that popped in my head when you said they were more agitated. They're getting these 9 times out of 10, these are going to be young kids over there, under 20 years old, already terrified, you know, watching all their friends die and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, let's make them mad.
Yeah, let's get that anxiety through the roof.
I like that. That makes sense, dude. That makes a lot of sense, especially when you pair that off with the ability, like if it does enhance the mind and enhance the reflexes, you are making like a superior violent machine.
Yeah. And once they start turning on each other, they're like, oh, damn.
Yeah, we better reel this back in. So here is the crux of the story. This is the main one that it always gets referenced. One night, there was a helicopter squadron, and they were on a routine patrol. And this was over a relatively peaceful area in Vietnam at the time. In one of the helicopters, the gunner began to open fire without being ordered to. He wasn't firing at the ground either. He was firing directly across from himself in this helicopter. And to everybody else in the squadron, in the pilot, there's nothing to be found. There's nothing else out there. So as this is taking place, the other helicopters are kind of scrambling to get the fuck out of the way so they don't get shot. A few of them almost crash into each other. The officer on this helicopter starts screaming at this dude to cease fire. You need to stop before you get us all killed. And the gunner starts responding with, "They're coming to get me. They're coming to get me." The officer, without hesitation, says, "Take them fucking goggles off." He takes the goggles off. So there's a red flag in itself, right? The fact that he knows to take the goggles off, and the officers and pilots are ordered not to wear these goggles at all, kind of leads to what you were saying about the government maybe knowing about some of these side effects.
It's weird.
Right? But the crazy thing is, when the officer approached the gunner and looked at him, he noticed his eyes were freaking dilated to the sky. So he instantly assumes this guy's hallucinating, most likely because of the heroin problem over there at the time. However, the officer then takes the goggles and puts them on himself. And he goes, he's like, "What in the fuck?" He starts describing humanoid creatures with wings and horns, which is what he would best describe as demons or gargoyles.
That's so fucking weird.
And what's even crazier, Steve, is something that we have kind of semi-talked about. Once these beings realized that he was looking at them, that's when they started going toward him.
Yep.
They didn't pay him no mind at all until they realized this motherfucker can see us.
It's
And they started going at him. And so he's freaking out and he takes the goggles off and then everything disappears.
That's so strange, especially that the powers that be specifically told the helicopter gunners and the helicopter pilots.
They said that they said the pilots and the officers on the helicopters, the gunners wore the goggles.
It's weird that they don't like, I don't know. Yeah. It's almost like they knew that they would be above the trees. So they would be more privy to see whatever the fuck these things
are. Yeah. It's crazy. And then once this happened, that must have kind of been, or once that encounter started to make its way through the camps, it must have broke the ice, because then a bunch of GIs start reporting the same type of creatures. Furthermore, even though the officers were under strict orders to avoid putting them on, some of them did, and they would go on to describe the same type of beings. In all the reports, it had the same conclusion. Once the men put the goggles on and made eye contact with these quote-unquote demons, the demons would then realize they could be seen and would begin to react to the person witnessing them. The oddity of this story is that all of this took place within a 60-day span, and the government, the upper brass, whomever, said, okay, red goggles are out, green goggles are in. We're done with the red.
That's so
done.
Crazy.
That's insanity to me, that because you know the military and you know the government. If you're getting really positive results, you've just created a super soldier killing machine. Why with these goggles, it? With some side effects, you got a little bit of psychosis going on, maybe a little bit of hallucination. What do you think the odds are that they would get those goggles out that fast? That's a fast turnaround. It's 60 strange. Days for the government? Come on. That's fast. Not to mention in a different country, in a wartime setting. I feel like that's pretty fast.
Yeah, it almost feels like a whole like training setup scenario. You know, like they knew that you could see whatever the fuck these things were, and they wanted to see how these things would react to us in a volatile military operation. They also kind of wanted to see how we would react to seeing them.
That's kind of where I'm at, dog.
Yeah,
I think they 100% knew what the fuck was gonna happen.
Sus. And then once things got sideways, where they're like, oh shit, the demons that we see for some, the demons that we have a defense mechanism that we can't see on our own, we've developed the goggles to see them, they immediately react violently because apparently us shooting at them pissed them off.
Yeah.
And on top of that, then they essentially ban them from the public.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah,
beep, like gone.
These goggles are poisonous. Yeah. Like they sell poisons everywhere. You can go to you can go to the goddamn hardware store and buy enough poison to take out an entire city block.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, I better not wear these red goggles, though, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Now, and that right there, that's the crux of the encounter. That is everything in regards that I was able to find in regards to these Vietnam red goggles. I did see in a bunch of comment boards, a bunch of comment sections, people claiming that they had relatives or friends or whomever that they knew that were over there. They describe and went and did the same thing, but nobody elaborates on the story. Nobody tells the story.
Oh man, my Uncle Ray would have been perfect because he was a gunner on a helicopter.
Awesome. That would have been awesome.
It's weird that he said he saw a gargoyle after he got back.
That's super weird. Super weird. So it also makes you wonder, like, what if he did wear the goggles and he did see shit and they recognized him? Like, what are the implications of that?
Yeah.
What if they followed him around? You know what I mean? Like, there's so much that could be drawn from that.
Yeah. Dang it. That's fucking crazy.
So, like I said, crux of the story, I found a bunch of other weird shit, though. Now, before we move on.
I love weird shit.
Oh, dude, it's good. Like, some of these stories are freaking awesome. But some people theorized, and I don't think I buy this. Some people were theorizing that there were chemicals inside the goggles that were leaking out, quote unquote leaking out, which would cause the men to hallucinate Also, that the government did this on purpose to monitor the effects.
Which...
not out of the realm of possibility.
No, in theory, makes a little bit of sense, but you could do that anywhere.
Yes,
realistically,
exactly.
You can test that shit out anywhere.
MK Ultra. Yeah.
You're not going to do it where you have the hey, Holocult. Have you ever got back from a paranormal expedition and woke up with some weird symptom like swollen, itchy eyes or a funny rash or a pain in your back, and you immediately just go to Google to see what's wrong with you? We suggest you don't do that and instead try ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. I'm talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. You can filter for doctors who take your insurance, they're located nearby, or a good fit for any medical need you have, and are highly rated by verified patients. I haven't booked an actual appointment with ZocDoc yet, but I have got on the app and messed around and booked mock appointments, and if I ever need it, it's going to be the first thing I go to. It's so easy, convenient, and quick. It's just the all-around best tool you need to book an appointment for anything you have going on. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/HOL01 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOL01. ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. Hey, Holocult. We are back and we are excited to announce our partnership with Mood.com. If you haven't heard of Mood.com, they sell federally legal weed, gummies, and everything you'd expect from a dispensary and ship it right to your front door. That's zero pants required. Seriously, you can get high-quality, 100% federally legal cannabis products delivered right to your door without ever having to leave your couch. And you can get $30 off your first order at mood.com/HOLO and enter coupon code HOLO. That's hollow. Mood partners with Small American Farms to bring you amazing, high-potency THC gummies, home baked goods, top-shelf flower, vapes, and more. All third-party lab-tested and backed by a 100-day guarantee. No dispensary lines, just clean, quality, 100% federally legal THC from their farms to your couch. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get $30 off their first order with code HOLO. So head to mood.com/HOLO, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our coupon code HOLO when you check out to save $30 on your first order.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
The odds that you could have your military force turning on itself.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. You're not going to.
I mean, they might do that.
You're not going to do it in a place that you've got so much skin in the game.
Yeah. You want to go down a terrible rabbit hole. Go to the wiki where the government tested shit on its own citizens. Yeah. There's an entire list of terrible things that our government has done to us.
Oh, 100%.
It's the worst.
100%.
Actually, don't go look at it.
Yeah, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, you're going to feel terrible about being a human.
So, like I said, crux of the story. And I'm like, all right. So now my train of thought is I'm already way into this. I have to keep digging around. I got to find stuff, right? So I'm like, okay. If it's also interesting to note that essentially after the 60-day span of all these encounters, one story made it through the net, right? It's kind of like your case where all of a sudden it just goes,
yeah,
done, an instant drop off, which is always a red flag for the conspiracy theorists. It's
cover
a huge red flag, 100%, yep. Dude. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. It got buried. But I'm like, all right, so I don't know much about Vietnam. Let's start digging into the area, the jungles, and see what type of lore resides within these jungles. Maybe we can make some connections here, right? So I start digging around, and I find some pretty wild wartime stories. I specifically wanted to focus on wartime because, of course, Vietnam's got tons of mythology and all types of stuff, just like everywhere does. But I'm like, I really want to focus on these wartime stories and see if I can find similar links to what these red goggles were witnessing. In one article, I found that during the war, Marines would hire locals to take them into certain areas of the jungle. That way they didn't get lost and stumble on booby traps and all that shit. But the locals would tell the Marines, hey, there are certain areas of this jungle that you're trying to go. We ain't going there. We don't fuck with that area. That area sucks. And so the Marines are like, what are you talking about? They're like, that area is it has the Ma that occupy the trees there, which I find extremely interesting that they specifically say that these entities occupy the trees, which is exactly where the gunners were seeing these creatures come from as they pass over in their helicopters. They're seeing them come out of the treetops. The Montagnards warn troops of reanimated corpses awaiting them within the trees. And of course, as any of us would most likely do, the Marines are like, whatever. You guys are on one. We'll just go by ourselves. From there, stories start to emerge from troops about how they would see ghostly figures moving supernaturally through the trees. Others would report fanged creatures with black eyes that would try to kidnap them and eat them. In one encounter, the beasts were actually bulletproof. So right out of the gate here, we've got similarities from other stories that we've covered. You have the phantom-like creature moving supernaturally through the treetops, which reminds us of what? The Glimmer Man, the predator beings that get reported all the time.
Yep.
And not to mention, we've seen video surfaced from these areas of the world that almost show what could be perceived as this predator-like being moving through the trees. So, all right, check one for the home team, right? Then you have the reports coming with creatures and fangs. Kind of sound like dogmen. Kind of sound like dogmen,
true,
right? And then you have the beast that is essentially bulletproof that the soldiers fire on and can't kill. That reminds me of the large wolf slash dogman reported from Stardust Ranch that time.
Couldn't shoot.
Couldn't kill it, right?
True.
So boom, 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 right there. You got a bunch of similarities that are linking across different stories across the world.
It's so weird how the phenomena intertwines itself.
It's nuts, dude. It's nuts. And so, and supposedly, from what I read, and this is from the conspiracy theorists, and I love it, and I mentioned it to Steve, and he loves it.
That's what we're here for.
Supposedly, they were, you know, all these people started to become terrified of the jungle in itself because these creatures, these phantom-like creatures, all this stuff was coming from the trees. And men were even afraid to go into in the daytime because the canopy in the jungle is so thick, it still creates like nighttime scenarios, right? So what did the United States government start doing? They said, fuck you. We're going to start dumping Agent Orange all over everything. Now, supposedly, according to conspiracy theorists, that is the real reason why we started using Agent Orange. Believe that or not, that's up to you.
Yeah, and what they did in Agent Orange, they napalmed.
Exactly. Exactly. They said, we ain't dealing with this. We're taking it out.
How do you get rid of the creatures in the trees? You get rid of the trees.
That's right. That's right. And that, my friends, is definitely one way of doing things.
Yeah. So they were seeing the Lorax through the night vision goggles.
And they smoked it.
They did.
They smoked it. They smoked it.
The whole, it's so weird.
It's awesome. Is what it is.
It is awesome.
It's awesome.
It is awesome.
I found an account of a bizarre creature being spotted in the area, which still reminds me of the goggles. It still fits, right? In 1969, Earl Morrison and his buddies were on guard duty. At around 1:30 a.m., they see this giant shape in the sky. And at first, they're like, what is it? It looks like a giant bat. But as it gets closer, they could tell that this was no bat. This, it had the body, it had like the wings of a bat.
A dragon.
Close. Close. It has the wings of a bat, and it has the body of a naked woman.
Oh.
However.
It's a different kind of dragon.
The entire creature is jet black. And as it begins to get closer to these men, it starts to emit this strange glow as it comes closer. Earl said that the creature got within 10 feet of them, and then it takes off again, right?
There ain't no way.
No. You guys most likely all have guns.
Yeah, you're on guard duty.
Use them.
Guard your damn self.
That's what I'm saying. And the crazy thing is after this happens, Morrison starts talking to some of the locals in the area. Because what better way to suss out a weird encounter like that than talk to locals? The locals say, you boys got lucky, because typically those creatures there carry people off and eat them. So you boys dodged a bullet that night. That's what happened.
That sucks.
That does suck. But once again, still fits in with the goggle stories of these weird creatures flying out of the trees.
And it's so weird. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, I know I always push like consciousness as our defense mechanism, but it could easily be like through millions of years of evolution, we have made it to where we block all these things out. Like, they completely fully exist in the realm of our reality. We just can't perceive them.
Yeah. And somehow we coexist without like physical, like, yeah, for the most part, physical encounters,
which further pushes that narrative that they don't fuck with us until they notice us noticing them.
Yeah.
It's almost like this, like the symbiotic relationship, like you humans do your thing and we'll do our thing. And as long as we don't cross paths, it'll be fine.
Or it could even be as simple as, because if you take it at what it is, the description creature, right? And when you think of creature, you don't think of like a hyper intelligent being. So if you have that moniker on it, and then you look at it through the lens of, this is like, just for me in my brain, here's a dog, right? And this dog exists within a different light spectrum, and somehow, some way, even though that light spectrum is here, we don't physically bump planes, right? And then all of a sudden, it notices, it somehow perceives that this other thing is now there, like witnessing it, occupying its space. And then it does what a dog would do and is like, I'm going to go check this fucking thing out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it may not have that intelligent level to it to be like, hey, I won't fuck with you if you don't fuck with me. Maybe it is like more of a primal. And I'll always be confused. I hope somebody can explain it to me one day, is how these light spectrums can exist all within them, like everywhere here. And somehow, like, we don't physically run into each other somehow. Like, it's almost like it's dimensional. But then again, if you take into consideration like radiation or something, we don't see radiation, but radiation absolutely has physical effects on us.
Yeah.
And I guess essentially, if you did expand backwards on that, you could take demonic oppression.
True.
Stuff like that. Like, that could kind of fall into like radiation you know, filing system there where you don't actually see it, but you are getting effects from it. So maybe, maybe that's a thing. I don't know. I don't know. It is weird. It is weird. And then if one thing's for certain, we can always count on UFO encounters, right? That, that seems to be pretty. So I found some pretty interesting UFO encounters. And what, what's crazy about these ones specifically is they're not, they're no joke encounters. Like, we think of UFO sightings as like one little disc object floating off in the sky.
Drones in the sky,
you know, all that nonsense. Fuck no. These reports are coming in where you're talking 30 floating off in the sky. Like, that's significant, right? And as I'm reading this first one in regards to, I think to 30, I could be wrong, but it's worded kind of weird, but it makes me feel a certain type of way about this. And further, and then later on, I actually get into more accounts of it, this taking place. However, I go back to the story. So there's an Australian destroyer in the area, and it was readying to it sees these objects in the sky, and it's getting ready to fire on them, right? Thinking that it's enemy helicopters. However, now I don't know if this was a UFO or plane, because it's written, it says a plane came in real fast with no IFF, which is identification, friend or foe. This plane fires on the ship. All of the ships open fire. Or all of the ship opens fire, whichever way it was worded, at these lights. And after, as the night ends and these lights go away and so on and so forth, they go out the next day to examine the battlefield, so to speak, and they find nothing. Nothing is found. Now, I don't know if maybe it was a UFO that came in on radar crazy fast and attacked the ship, or if it actually was a plane that was somehow unregistered and kind of took advantage of the chaos and attacked.
Did I wonder if any of the artillery struck the ship, or if the ship's artillery also struck the plane? I wonder if there was an actual
I don't know. That's a good question.
Physical.
It didn't say anything about the ship in itself, but they did say that no debris was found at all, the battlefield, so to speak.
Interesting.
And we, it's, that's an interesting question with the shells too, because we get to that a little bit later in an account. But I found another account where a U.S. soldier and his squad, they're out patrolling and they become pinned down. And all of a sudden they see these bright lights appear over the paddy fields. The U.S. warships that were close, they began firing on these objects, thinking they were Viet Cong helicopters. However, at the same time, the Viet Cong that had these guys pinned down also began firing on the objects, thinking that they were American helicopters. So now you have corroborating forces who are supposed to be killing each other, both firing at this other object because they think it's each other.
They have a common enemy.
It's weird. Imagine being those guys pinned down and then seeing that, your guys start shooting and you're like, all right, this is great. And then you look over there and then your enemy is also shooting at it. And then you become crazy confused.
Yeah. That would be so terrifying that you're pinned down and the enemy has you locked in firing on you. And all of a sudden they just stop. But you still hear it going on and you look over and they're just completely focused on something completely different and alien to you and alien to them.
And
you're like,
okay, and here we and go. In regards to your shells, this was actually the story. I missed this part here. The man that was pinned down actually recounted that he could see the shells from the ships essentially contacting the UFOs. However, these shells would stop just outside the light and nothing field. Like a fucking force field.
That's what, after I asked that question, I was like, well, if they already got accounts of the actual beings being bulletproof, what's who's to say their ships aren't bulletproof? Right. Well?
Exactly.
Which made me it bring.
But imagine imagine being there and seeing that shit, seeing these shells just go pink, hit this invisible wall and then just drop.
Yeah.
Dude, that are exploding, I should say. I think it exploded. Whatever was happening. Still would be freaking crazy.
Say, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I just put my goggles back on and be like, ah! Just rage out. But it makes me, my brain's going all different kind of places here, right? It makes me wonder if these are all different aspects of the phenomena. So essentially you got whatever these beings are, these gargoyle demon beings, which a lot of times are considered like low level entities. Mm-hmm. In these realms.
Also, oddly enough, that they describe a lot of that you just described. Another word for it is low frequency.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in regards to the light spectrum, that's interesting to me.
Right, which probably coincides, honestly.
Yeah, it probably does.
But then you also essentially have an American government who has found this technology to where we can interact with these beings, right? Mm-hmm. On a level to where it can become physical. So you've got humans who are interesting to aliens, and you've got low frequency beings who are interesting to aliens interacting with one another. And then all of a sudden you've got UFOs coming to observe this interaction, which is kind of weird.
It is weird
that it's watching how we interact with, it's essentially the phenomena watching how we interact with the phenomena.
It is weird.
Which is,
it's also weird how much shows up during wartime as well.
Yeah. And I feel like it has to do with like the high tensions. Like you said, everybody's more alert. Everybody's more like hyper aware. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Life's weird.
I found this other story. It's kind of confusing at first, but my brain kind of slowly put it together. It's a weird one. It's not long. It's extremely short, actually. The speculation behind it is that there was a craft that was an American B-52 that was shot down, taken down during Vietnam, right? And Green Beret Captain William English was assigned to Laos to investigate a downed bomber. He was able to find it. He investigated it. And he's like, it's weird that this plane is in unusually good shape for being quote unquote shot down. The only damage on the plane was normal damage expected from a crash landing. So he's like, all right, this is weird. Like, what happened? Right. However, he goes inside the plane and the crew's bodies are still in the plane and they're actually still buckled in. So they didn't get up when they landed, right? And he said that these bodies were fucked.
I think I've heard
this. They were horribly disfigured and mutilated. And there was no other reported damage within the cockpit at all. So essentially you have a completely intact plane with normal crash landing damage, no damage where these bodies were, and these bodies are just mutilated to all hell. It doesn't make sense.
No.
Right? And so he takes samples of the bodies, and he turns them over for autopsies. The moment he does this, the Laos government deports him. End of story. Story's done.
Sus.
Tuber sus. Another fun story that definitely ties into UFO lore, you have an encounter where at the Nitrang base, the men were watching a movie, an outside movie, and in the background, you've got like bulldozers working, you've got two planes over here that are firing up to get ready for a mission, a lot going on a base. Mind you, like I said, it's outside, there's this projector screen, and these guys watching it, they notice this light behind the screen, and they think it's like a flare or something. They don't really pay it a whole lot of attention. And then all of a sudden it starts it gets brighter and brighter, and then they see this glowing object in the sky. And so they're like, what the fuck? And this thing's just a flying around all crazy. And then it starts to kind of like dip down toward the base. And as it dips down toward the base, all the electronics, including the dozers and the planes, poof, they go off. Almost like an EMP just hit the base. Which is part of the course for UFO encounters, right?
Oh, yeah.
You hear that all the time in lore. So that was a story on its own. There's another one here real quick. There were two patrol boats in the DMZ between North and South Vietnam. They spotted a couple UFOs over the river, and they were kind of flying toward them. Crew members of the second boat had to watch as a light comes from one of the UFOs and completely engulfs the first boat, destroying it in a huge explosion.
Sucks.
Does suck. And then on top of all of this, all these oddities that are going on, you have government operations in the area like Wandering Soul. So Wandering Soul was a psyop that took place where the government gave soldiers like PA systems essentially, and they began to play unearthly sounds over this PA system that would sound like screaming and crying. And then it started to play audio tracks of people saying phrases like, it's hell, I'm in hell, don't end up like me, go home before it's too late. Which also in some cases did actually have effects on the Viet Cong. They would actually leave in some case. They're like, fuck this.
Yep.
Because also on top of all that, there was a deep belief over there that if you were to die and your body wasn't returned home, you would then walk the earth in torment until your remains were found and returned and had a proper burial. So even if, because that later on, the Viet Cong actually figured out that this was just bullshit, but it still had psychological effects on them, because then it would make them remember that if I die out here, yep, and I don't have a proper burial, I'm still fucked.
Yep. I was thinking that early on when we were talking about how like people that lived in the area were like, don't go here, there's all these horrible monsters and shit. It reminded me of the stories from World War II where the Soviets would capture Germans, skin them, hang them in trees, and then they'd post out down the line, hey, there's like monsters here in Siberia that will take your skin. And the German soldiers are hearing it. They're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And they stumble up on, you know,
yeah,
somebody's skin hanging from the tree. And they're like,
and I think
we're way in over our heads.
I think we also did a story in like Cuba or something where they ran a psyop saying that there were vampires out in the woods too.
Yeah.
So it's not the first time they played these little mind tricks, right? But here to end the episode, I'm glad we're at an hour at proper ending time, but I'm going to end the episode off with this story that I found. Cannot verify this story, but it is a rather interesting story. Okay. The story comes from a man who was dying of cancer, and he essentially waited a long time to get this off his chest. He was never going to speak about it until he found out he had cancer and he was dying. So he's like, all right, I'm going to talk about this. He was in Vietnam. He was what you would call a tunnel rat. Steve, you know what a tunnel rat is. It's the little guys that got fucked. They were the ones that had to go into the tunnel systems that the Viet Cong dug.
Sucks.
To try and take out anyone that was inside there. And most of the time, the tunnels were full of traps. They had poisonous snakes, punji sticks. They would rig them to flood, all types of just horrendous things. Not to mention, you could just have some guy laying in the dark up ahead waiting for you anyway. So yeah. They said that the survival rate of those guys was basically zero. Like, you just almost never survived that stuff. But this guy in particular said that he operated near Saigon in the this is going to sound absolutely terrible, but a lot of you are going to laugh because this is how I'm going to say it. The Coochie Tunnel Complex. C-U-C-H-I.
You all need to be weary before.
Interesting tunnel complex.
You need to make sure to take the proper safety measures before exploring the Coochie tunnels.
Yes.
Okay.
That is, yes, be responsible. It is advisable. Anyways. He said him and his buddy, they would go into these tunnels with their little pistol and a little bit of C4. That's all they'd take in there. So he goes into this particular tunnel system and he's crawling for about 40 minutes through this tight little tunnel. Him and his buddy, total silence, not making a freaking noise because they don't know what's up ahead. After about 40 minutes, like I said, the guy in front, the main guy who's telling the story, sees a light in like the make of a little room up ahead. And so he takes his boot. He taps his buddy on his helmet or on his head, and he hears the audible click of his buddy's pistol. So it's his way of being like, hey, get ready. There's stuff up here we got to get ready for. They get into the room, and it's dimly lit by a small oil lamp. But the room was completely empty. There's nothing there. The man noted that while they were climbing down through this tunnel system, that it smelled like rotten food or a dead body. And he was thinking that maybe some poor Viet Cong got trapped in there or got killed in there, and that's just where he's at, you know. That's what he was expecting.
Makes sense. Probably a commonality of that.
Yes, that's what scenario. He said. That's what he said. And he's like, we were on high alert at this point because this was the longest tunnel system that we've ever climbed through. And the odd part was that there were no traps and no people around. This is weird. But in this room that he was in, he noticed this canvas tarp on the wall. So he walks over to it and he moves the tarp. And what he saw confused the hell out of him. Supposedly, they saw a staircase leading down into the ground. And I think it was his buddy that was there was like, dude, this is the Viet Cong did not build this. This is old. This is older than America old. And the main guy looked at him and was like, hey, we've come this far. We can't stop here.
Just go for it.
We got to go. And I can kind of applaud that. So they did. They start walking down this, the staircase, using flashlights with red lenses. That's what he said. Once again, they go a long, long way down. He said it felt like forever, which could just be the scary factor of the situation, you know?
Yeah, anxiety's high.
Yeah, that's good. That's what it is, anxiety. They get to the end of this stairwell. They have another tarp hanging. And he can tell that there's light behind it. So he's like, all right, hey, it's go time. And he walks up to this tarp and he moves it to the side. And he's like, my eyes light up. My heart starts racing and I almost start pulling the trigger. He's like, I saw 10 people in this room. Not one of them were armed. He's like, I pointed my pistol at him. And even like shone, like had my flashlight shining in their eyes. And they all just stood there gently rocking back and forth. That's all they were doing.
Nope.
He told his buddy behind him, who wasn't in the room yet. He's like, hey, don't shoot. There's people in here. And he's like, there's something wrong with them.
I'm saying.
Right?
Mustard gas the whole thing with me in it.
So him and his buddy go into the room and they start like shining flashlight in everybody's eyes.
There ain't no way.
Right? And then he has this red tinted light on and he's shining it in everybody's face. And he's like, what the fuck, dude? He's like, there's three women and seven men and they're all just rocking back and forth. They were dressed. He's like, I knew they were Viet Cong. You can tell by the way they were dressed. But he's like, their eyes were all a solid color. And I couldn't tell because of the red flashlight what color they were. But in my head, I feel like even under red, you're going to tell that it's white.
Yeah.
Right? Like, am I a fool to think that?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. If it's all white, it's going to look red from a red flashlight.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we all know what color it most likely was.
Just run away.
Right? So, they scan the room and notice a pile of rifles in the corner of the room. All the rifles, according to them, were badly rusted. And the main dude is like, Jesus Christ, how long have these people been down here? And the guy that was with him was a guy from the bayou. And he was like, I don't think Jesus much visits this place very often.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. So the bayou guy was a little bit on the religious side. And he's like, dude, we need to get.
I'd already been calling napalm in.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm 40 minutes out. Hit it.
So they're just like, what is going on? Like, I don't understand. The man noticed how all these people were facing a particular direction in the room. And so he goes to the front of the room where there were a few small candles lit, right? On this little stone altar stood a gold statue. The statue was ornately crafted. It was a beautiful naked woman. At least the top half of it was. The bottom was something like an octopus. Dozens of tiny gold tentacles had been meticulously crafted to this woman's torso. The statue also had some writing on it, but neither of the men recognized it. The main guy actually reaches out to touch the statue. And the bayou boy goes, hey!
Idiot.
Like, yells at him, startles him, stops him from touching it, and instantly he's like, we got to get the fuck out of here. And the main guy is like, dude, we can't just leave these people down here. They're unarmed.
You can.
Well, like, we can't do that. And his buddy, which is a testament to like how close these guys could be. Cause the bayou guy is like, dude, these people are already dead or they're far worse.
I agree.
He's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set C4 on a 90-minute timer and scat ass. The man was like, dude, and the bayou guy's like, listen, I've seen something like this in the bayou before. I'm telling you, they're dead or worse. And at that point, the main dude is like, all right, bet. Like, I trust you. Let's roll. So they set the charges. They run up the stairs, crawl all the way back out of the tunnel. And as they're running up the stairs, I forgot this part. As they're running up the stairs, they begin to hear a woman's voice. And the bayou dude goes, he's just screaming, ignore it and keep running. And the main guy's like, at that point, we were on the move. I ain't turning around now. We're out of here. He's got me going. They climb out. They get all the way out of it. They hear the low thud of the explosion. And the dude says, the one question about the whole thing that I have that I don't understand, who keeps the candles lit in that place?
That's what I was thinking when they were like, hey, the candles were lit on the altar. I'm like,
Yeah. So take that story for what it is. Like I said, I couldn't find much more on it. I just found what essentially is a possible deathbed confession.
I hope it's real.
I do too.
Even if it's not, like, I was locked in.
It's good. It's good. But it's one of them, like, I feel like if you're writing a story, you do a little bit better of a job.
And, like,
You would, because most
weird
writers,
shit like that happens all the time.
Yeah, most writers would put more descriptive details in the story, and there wasn't, like, that wasn't the case. So, like I said, take that for what it is. And it's not, it's no more far-fetched than reports of
demons in trees.
Demons in trees.
Bulletproof demons in trees, yeah. Fighting UFOs.
Yeah.
It's.
So that is what I have for some of the Vietnam war stories.
It's awesome. It's
fucking, some of them stories are pretty crazy, right?
It is weird, it's especially good. If you take it into consideration that all the phenomena was kind of going on at the same time in that particular area. And if it is some sort of weird government trial on these things, seeing how humans and these low frequency beings interact, and then you also have aliens essentially also kind of peeping in on the experiment.
Yeah, look, it's real. I just, out of pure curiosity, I had to Google it. That tunnel system's real.
The Coochie Tunnel.
Yeah, it's real.
Coochie Tunnel right there.
Because I did see a comment in one of the things that I was kind of perusing through that the dude was like, hey, even without all this bullshit, like from this story, those tunnel systems are terrifying all by on their own without this weird stuff happening. Look at these tunnels. Look at them.
Yeah, I don't want to look
at them. They're freaking, some of them are scary as hell looking, like, because there's that, but then there's pictures of it inside these tunnels. Like, look, there's a room essentially that he could have been describing.
No thanks.
Where's that weird one? Look at that one.
Especially like every step you're taking, are you going to set off a booby trap? Is a grenade going to go terrifying. Off? Are you going to get absolutely shot?
Terrifying.
Is 100,000 poisonous snakes going to fall out of the sky? Like, no thanks.
Yeah.
I say, don't just stop investigating the tunnels and just start.
Yeah. You know, I just would have blew up the entrances and just been done with it. I wouldn't have gone in there.
It's fine. Yeah. That was a ripper.
I think both of the episodes back to back are pretty good.
Those are,
to be honest,
a couple of bangers.
They're good.
I'm
happy with the turnout, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a good start to 2025.
I agree. I think that they were two solid starters.
It's gonna be weird.
I think you guys loved them.
You did.
Yeah.
We already decided.
If we say that you did, then you did.
Yeah. You enjoyed them quite a lot.
Yeah.
But
I like that narrative. You enjoyed them quite a lot.
Let us know how much you did.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with us this fine, fun-filled Monday morning, Holocult. Hope everybody has a good week. This kind of starts it off the right way. And, you know the drill. Check us out all our socials until we meet again. Stay safe. Stay weird. And I don't know, man. If anybody's got any red night vision goggles that they want to get rid of, holler at us.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.